The message will come out of Hebrews chapter 3 this morning, verses 1 through 6. The apostle starts out and he says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ is set forth as superior over the prophets, superior over the angels, he's superior over Moses. He's superior over Aaron, the high priest. That being so, we are to consider him above all things and all persons. No one is compared to Jesus Christ." Now, the exhortation here is to consider. A.W. Pink said, "This means to thoroughly think of the matter so as to arrive at a fuller knowledge of it. Consider who he is." This is very important. Our Lord said in one place, "Who do men say that I am?" Some said, "You're Elijah," they said, and some say, "You're that prophet." But he said, but Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus Christ is the well-beloved and only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. We who believe are sons of God by adoption. We are sons of God by election. We are sons of God by a new birth. But Jesus Christ is the Son of God by an eternal generation. He has no beginning of days or end of life. Who is Jesus Christ? He is Jehovah Jireh in Genesis 22, "The Lord will provide." He is Jehovah Rapha in Exodus 15, "The Lord that healeth." He is Jehovah Nisi in Exodus 17, "The Lord our banner." He is Jehovah Shalom in Judges 6, "The Lord our peace." He is Jehovah Reah in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." He is Jehovah Sidkenu in Jeremiah 33, "The Lord our righteousness." He is Jehovah Shema in Ezekiel 48, "The Lord is present." Jesus Christ is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is Jehovah manifested in the flesh. That's who he is. Jesus Christ is not some sentimental reformer trying to win the heart of the people. He is the sovereign God of heaven and earth. Now let's consider for a minute here his authority and power. The Jesus that is being preached today has no authority except what you give him. But not so with the Jesus Christ revealed in the Word of God. He said in Matthew 28:18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." The scripture says all things were created by him and for him. He has all power over creation. He commands the sea and the winds and the waves to be still, and they are still. He has all power over the angels and all principalities and powers. It says in Colossians 2:15, "Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When he cast demons out, none of them said no. They all came out." Satan himself has no power except what the Lord gives him, allows him to have. And then he has all power over all men. He can say to one, "Go," and he will go, and he can say to one, "Come," and he'll come. When he called his disciples, he said, "Come, follow me." And they got out of the ship and followed him. The power went with his command, and they followed him. Pilate said, "Don't you know that I have the power to release you and the power to let you go?" And the Lord said, "You have no power at all against me except it be given thee from above." Our Lord not only has all power and authority because of who he is, but he bought the right. He bought the right to rule and reign over all this world. It says in John 17:2, and it's our Lord's praying to the Father. This is his high priestly prayer. He says, "As thou hast given him," that is, Father, "as thou hast given to Christ power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." He says in John 5:26-27, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority," the power, the right to execute judgment also, because he's the Son of Man. He has the power to save, and he has the power to damn. It's all in his hands. Our lives, our fate is not in our hands. It's in the hands of Jesus Christ. We lost our lives in Adam. That's why we must shut men up to Christ. We must shut them up to him and him alone. He's the sovereign. He has all power over all flesh. All men and women are in his hands to do with as he will. No one is on neutral ground. somewhere between now and the time they die. They've got to make a choice for Jesus or the devil. No, the scripture says we come into this world lost. And if we are saved, we are saved by the grace of God. And that's the only way we are saved. God has turned this whole world over to Jesus Christ as a mediator to run and to rule over it moment by moment. And everyone in it is in the hands of the man Jesus Christ. Now let's consider the honor that's due his name. It's written over in Revelation 5:12. Say with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." What honor is due the name of Jesus Christ? He is the only one who is God. He is the only one who is God and man in one person. He is God, very God, and yet he's a very real man, just like I am, except he knew no sin. What honor is due his name? What praise and what esteem and what glory is due the name of Jesus Christ? There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name Jesus Christ. It's because of failure to consider Christ that causes us to let these things slip, as the apostle speaks of in chapter 2. The reason why we know so little about Christ is because we don't consider him as he's revealed in the scriptures. We are too taken up with everything else. Now, to consider Christ means to behold him, not with just a glance, but with the heart. Salvation is a heart work. It's a heart obsessed with Jesus Christ. Our Lord said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In Colossians 3:12, it is written, "Set your affection on things above. Set your heart, your mind on things above, where Christ sits at God's right hand." Now let me give you some motives for considering the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we consider him because he is the one through whom deity is now fully and finally manifested. In Hebrews 1:12, he is the brightness of his Father's glory. And then here's another motive, because he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, because of who he is. He is above all created spirits. He's the Son of God. And then another motive is this, that he by himself has purged us from our sins and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Everyone for whom Jesus Christ died for, he purged them from their sins. Now, brethren, he died for a multitude of sinners no man could number. If it were not for the Father choosing a people and giving him to Jesus Christ, no one would be saved. We'd be like the fallen angels. We would all be lost and perish. Election is an election of grace. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. God chose a people by grace. And here's another motive, because there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Now, in this verse, we are especially exhorted to consider Jesus Christ, the apostle and high priest of our profession. Now, he's said to be an apostle, which has respect to his office as a prophet, which means one sent of God, a messenger. He said, as my Father has sent me, so I send I you. It is Christ who teaches us of the Father. Christ eclipses all the other apostles. He wrought more miracles than them all. He had the Spirit without measure. And listen, there is no office that we hold in the church. There's no office in the church that Jesus Christ is not the head of. But here in chapter 3, verse 1, I believe that the weight of the message is put upon his priesthood. Consider Christ Jesus, the high priest of our profession, is what he says. In the Old Testament, men approached God through the high priest, the sacrifice and the blood. The sacrifice would be offered, and the high priest would take the blood and under the veil once a year and make atonement. There was never a general atonement made in the Old Testament. It was always for the people of Israel. It was always for a particular people. I don't know where these preachers get a general atonement. It's not taught in the Word of God. The atonement was always for somebody. When Jesus Christ died for the sins of people, he died for those sins belonged to someone. Now, listen. Now, seeing that Christ is our high priest, he's ordained of God, he too must have something to offer, it says over in Hebrews 8:3. And consider what it was that he offered. It was not the blood of bulls and goats that he offered, for the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It was his flesh and blood that he offered for the life of his chosen. It was his blood and soul that it was offered. In Isaiah 53, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Christ himself is the offering. He's the sacrifice. It says in Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. In Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered him once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He obtained eternal redemption from a multitude of sinners. And they shall have it. They shall have it. Now consider to whom the sacrifice was offered. It wasn't offered to men. It's not offered to angels, the angels that fail. It's offered to God. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He offered himself up to God. God needed the blood, God needed the sacrifice in order to have anything to do with me. It was offered to God, against whom sin is committed and whose justice must be satisfied. That's why Jesus Christ was set forth to be the propitiation for sin. This way he could declare the righteousness of God and show forth God's justice and render satisfaction. The blood was always before the Lord and unto the Lord. It's not... You take the people in Egypt, when they put the blood on the doorpost, they couldn't see the blood. They were in Sabbath. God said, when I see it, because it was for him. Calvary's not a shot in the dark. It's not a rescue attempt on men. It's purposed of God to save a multitude of sinners and populate heaven with a people just like his son. That's what salvation's all about. It's not trying to save you from going to hell. It's making a sinner one again with God. That's what it is. Now consider for whom it was offered. It wasn't offered for himself. He didn't need any. He shall, the scripture says in Daniel 9:26, he shall be cut off, but not for himself. It was not offered for the fallen angels. God spared them not. Nor was it offered for anybody in hell. It was offered for his sheep. You go through the scriptures now. Listen, you go through the scriptures. You will not find Jesus Christ dying for goats. It always says he died for his sheep, his children, his church, sinners. Sinners. Scripture says in Romans 5, he died for the ungodly. If you're ungodly, if you're a sinner, I can say Christ died for you. It's hard to find a sinner. It's hard to find anyone that will not make an excuse for why they do what they do and why they are what they are. Listen to John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Not for goats, for the sheep. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. My friends, if God has purchased you with his own blood, he's going to have you. Now he's going to have you. Now let's consider the excellency of his sacrifice above all others. It is a full and sufficient sacrifice. Nothing needs to be added to it, nothing lacking. It is written in Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. All other sacrifices were not sufficient, but his sacrifice is. It is an unblemished sacrifice. Christ knew no sin. He is the Lamb without spot and without blemish. It was a free and voluntary sacrifice. No man taketh my life from me, he said in John 10. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. He laid his life down willingly and freely. Now let me close with this. Consider the blessings that flow from Christ, the high priest, over the church of God. First of all, there's full atonement for sin. No more sacrifice needed. Brethren, if God has put away your sin, they're gone. You don't have any. Now, I know I have sinned, and I know I sinned, but now, as far as God's concerned, are gone. And then here's another blessing. He has put away sin forever and made reconciliation for his people. We are reconciled unto God through and in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's another one. Perfect righteousness and complete justification is brought in. And then we have in him the forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. The whole of the message is this. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostle and high priest of our profession. Well, I pray that the Lord bless this message to you. Till next time, God bless you.